This episode of Film Sack brought to you by you. Go to patreon.com/frogpants and consider supporting the shows now. That's patreon.com/frogpants.
Hey, is it preseason for football? I gotta go.
May I help you?
May you help me? Sure. I'd like some Chinese spare ribs.
Chinese spare ribs?
You mean to tell me you don't know what Chinese spare ribs are? Mm-mm. Well, let me show you, man.
Oh, hello. I'm the Dragon, and I'm returning. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 254. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He has to pee all the time, Dunaway.
Is that what he was doing?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Did you guys know this week's Film Sack movie was Chuck Norrison's big screen debut and was produced and directed by Bruce Lee? And prior to Chuck Norris's back hair to facial hair transplant, it's true. He grew a mustache on his shoulder blades and had them migrated to his sweet little American baby face. No wonder Bruce Lee was constantly looking for the toilet.
Yeah, we'll talk about that chest and back hair later. Good Lord.
They like little angel wings made out of back hair.
Yeah,
we might talk about it sooner in this opening.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. I'm glad it landed on everybody like that. All right. Next up, we have Randy. There are never more than three customers in this damn restaurant at any given time, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Mm. I just have to demonstrate that we've started by taking my clothes off here. Okay. Now I'm going to face away from you and crack every joint in my body. Okay. Did I ever tell you about the time I had a job working as a professional miscommunicator?
Right.
Oh, no. You say you don't know exactly what a miscommunicator does? Well, then thank a miscommunicator. What's that? You have no idea what I'm talking about? Thank a miscommunicator. Are you uncomfortable right now? Perfect. I've got to use the bathroom again. I'll be right back.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if we can do a little three-peat on the bathroom reference. Finally with us, Brian, there was no budget to shave Chuck Norris Ibbitt.
There's going to be a lot of this talk. I can't believe I'm resorting to a Chuck Norris joke in the Film Sack opening, but I just can't help myself. Chuck Norris is so masculine.
How masculine is he?
Yeah, he's so masculine, even his back has a full head of hair. Where's the bathroom?
Thank you. Oh, man, that toilet thing. I don't get it.
Is there a chance to just play some music again?
I guess so.
Right. Well, if you ate eight bowls of soup, even though you obviously ordered steak and a million other things at this restaurant, it comes out as soup.
Yeah. Best part of that soup was the take. The camera would flip angles and the soup would change it what it was. So it was tomato up close, far away. It was some milky white thing.
Cream
and then
soup. Yeah, exactly.
It made no sense.
Is that if that is the payoff that he has to go to the bathroom constantly because he ate all that soup, then this is the most brilliant movie I've ever seen.
Suddenly everything changes for you.
I just want to assure you, this is not the most brilliant movie you've ever seen. It's not even in that discussion. So just let that go.
It is okay. Mrs. Lee. So his widow, I forget her full name. I wrote it down earlier. Now I can't find it, but her favorite film he ever made was this one, she says. And I read that before
Linda
I watched
Lee
it.
Cadwell.
Yeah, that's her. That's it.
I will agree if we state that as the first 20 minutes of this movie are my favorite Chinese episode of Three's Company.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Even the theme sounded like Sanford and Son or something.
That was the whole movie.
Yeah. Ooh, the intro, the opening of this movie, though, is very good.
Oh,
title cards?
Hold on. Define what you mean by really good. What do you mean by
title
really good?
Title cards. I mean, when Cabbage Island attacked Taco Island, that was pretty freaking special.
Okay.
You know what? You know what credit we never saw listed in either the opening credits or the ending credits?
What?
Proofreader.
Proofreader. Right, yeah.
Because apparently this movie was Skyped.
Right.
It was Scriped.
Scriped. Scriped. That's what it was. Scriped. Directed and Scriped by Bruce Lee.
Yeah, Scripe 1.0. It's an old movie, and it's his directorial debut, and there's some things to say about it, and we'll get to all that in a second. But Scott Fletcher has the rundown on Way of the Dragon.
Return of the Dragon.
Or that.
Tang Lung, played by Bruce Lee, travels to Rome, summoned there to help his restaurateur cousin fend off the local syndicate's extortion demands. Tang refuses to knuckle under, making short work of the knife-wielding hoods and everyone else the mob can toss at him.
It's called Way of the Dragon before it came here, and they changed it for U.S. audiences because of the success of its sequel, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so when they brought it here and localized it, they decided to change it to Return.
Right. Enter.
Or Enter. Oh. No, Return. 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 Enter the Dragon is the first one. Yeah, yeah. Or is it, wait, Enter the Dragon is the second one, though, right?
No, the first one is Enter the Dragon, isn't it?
Right.
It's a different the real movie. One. It's not the same character.
Right. Right.
This is like a comedy as well. It's supposed to be a comedy.
I think it is. I can see the intended comedy as well as a lot of the unintended comedy.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I was super stoked when we talked about doing this because I knew it meant a lot of overdubbing of the best kind. Mm-hmm. And I recorded not a lot of lengthy dialogue for today's clips, but a ton of little ones.
Oh, I can't wait for the clips today.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I went into this not dreading it, but thinking, all right, another martial arts movie. It's going to be the same damn thing over and over again. Right. And this is now my favorite martial arts movie of all time. And it's, I never thought I'd say I like something more than a Jackie Chan film, a good Jackie Chan film.
Mm-hmm.
But this one actually just took the top spot.
Well, you said something yesterday on, I guess, texted it or emailed or something.
Yeah,
you said like the first 15 minutes, is amazing, or you made some comment.
Yeah.
And I thought, how can that be?
It's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But I think that's important because, like, you can skip the first 20 minutes of this movie, or you could isolate the first 20 minutes of this movie and call it a complete other thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's really weird how there's a martial arts movie in here somewhere. We're going to get to it. It's going to be really cliche, but not for 20 minutes. Mm-mm. For 20 minutes, we're going to have a naked lady bust in on us, and we're going to have to keep going to the bathroom, and we're going to not
scare a child for no reason in the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, made him lose his ice cream. I was like, you dropped your ice cream.
Listen to the sound he made. Check this out. That's the sound he made in front of that kid.
Why? Goes, why did he have to sneak? Why did he have to sneak into that restaurant?
Yeah.
Why? Right. Like, it took me a while to realize, oh, right, the dubbing is giving me English, and he is actually not speaking Italian, and this very not Italian looking waitress is expecting Italian. Mm. And so this is where we're all confused. And by the way, if you looked at the menu, that menu was the weirdest thing in the movie.
it was pretty weird. The denominations weren't even like clearly Italian or what. They just were like,
that's the one thing about the menu that was right. Mm. They were the prices were in Italian lira.
Mm.
That was right. But the foods were just weird. I could not make sense of that. But like that whole sequence, and then they go out to the car, and it's like he's got to play guess the name of the car, or he can't get in the car.
Oh, and you have a Mustang.
Yeah, and she's just like angry at him for no reason.
Yeah. I just love the idea that you can go into any restaurant and actually, it's assuming that everyone speaks English, and have them go eggs, and have her go what? Right. I don't understand. Exactly. Eggs? What the hell are those?
And it's funny because, you get that at some point, right? And then later on the film, there's a translation sequence where everybody's speaking English. Mm. And somebody says, no, he is saying to come back tomorrow. And it's like, well, no, he just said that.
He just said it in English. Right. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I captured that because that was weird.
That was kind of a pivotal scene for me because I was watching it and I was trying to figure out why Bruce Lee was telling the bad guy's assistant.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out why he was telling him what to tell his boss. I'm like, why are you telling? You're all speaking English. Well, I'm like,
in that movie, that dude was actually an Italian mob boss guy
thing. Right.
And then the other guy was speaking Cantonese or whatever they're doing back and forth with him and Bruce Lee. And then, so it would have made contextual sense. And this, it felt like one of those movies, like teenagers going, well, you tell him I'm not interested in seeing him next weekend either.
And that's what I thought they were doing. I was like, why is he being so snarky?
Yeah.
Right. So I did find an image, by the way, a close-up of the menu, and I put it in Skype. But basically, it's a listing of all the soups at this restaurant. There's cream de pomodoro, which is cream of tomato.
Yeah.
It is. It's an entire page of soups.
Yeah.
Here's the best part, though.
Okay.
The heading at the top of the page is Campbell's.
Yes. And that's the second shot. The first shot of the menu has things like American hot dog and all
egg
these
sandwich
just, like, things. Yeah. That you wouldn't have at any Italian restaurant in Italy.
Fish chowder soup, Washington cream soup. This isn't Italian, but you're right. It is in Lira, isn't it?
Well, this
right.
is the airport restaurant though. You've all guys been to the airport restaurant. Yeah. You go to the toilet afterwards as well.
Have you been to a soup restaurant where it's all soup all the time? I never have.
Here's the question.
It'd be called Campbell's.
What was the movie about for the first 20 minutes?
Still not sure.
I have idea.
I think what they were trying to portray.
Fish out of water. Yes, he's in a, you know, he's in Italy. He's in the airport. He doesn't understand things. He's got a woman, an old woman staring at him for no reason. There's no resolution to that either.
Yeah, there is. It resolves when her husband shows up and says, Martha, stop it.
Yeah, quit stop scaring the Asian man.
Really? Is that the resolution?
I don't know. There is no, listen, I think you're totally right. I think the phrase lost in translation applies here because there's no way we got context. Because
right. What if
fish out of water, I agree with, but when he's in the restaurant and asking for eggs and having her not understand it, it doesn't work for us. For them, it was probably like, him trying to pronounce something Italian or saying something in Chinese in Cantonese, and she not getting it.
Yeah,
wasn't this something that was common during the early 70s, late 60s in movies where you have you go to an exotic location and you essentially just tour it? And that's what they were kind of doing. That whole first right after the airport scene is nothing but a big tour around.
Right.
Italy, right?
Right, isn't the driving tour. We're going to go by the Colosseum, and now we're going to go by something that looks like the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, but it's right. the Roman version of
that. What's that one called? I forget. I thought the same thing, though, when I saw it. I thought, that's like the French one, I said to
it
myself.
It is, yeah, but I don't know what it's called, the Roman one is called. But, yeah, I mean, it is like, you know, any time now they're going to drive by. There's the statue that's kind of the really cool cutaway fountain statue. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of that. Actually, it was almost like this movie was probably fronted by the Italian tourism board because there's the middle scene where they're out walking around and he sees that fountain. He's talking about how Hong Kong is better. And then there's the obviously the stuff at the very end with the Colosseum.
Oh, yeah, which, by the way, according to the trivia, has never been done since. It's the first or it's the last fight to occur. Be filmed, rather. I don't know about any other fights that may have happened behind closed doors, but first fight to be seen to be filmed in an actual Colosseum since then. So apparently the Italian preservation folk got together and said, you know, we probably ought to have these people kicking our crap around. These are like ancient structures.
It was the cat. The cat said, no more.
My home this is.
Can we talk
you
about
can't come in here and throw me down the stairs.
I don't want to leap too far ahead, but can we talk about the cat for a second?
I just want you to know that was the Arch of Titus.
Okay.
That drove by. I just looked up all the different arches in Rome.
The Arch of Titus.
Oh. Yes.
All right. I like
There's
it.
A
I had
bunch.
That looked at by my podiatrist.
Right. Yes.
You're Arch suffering Titus, from yes. the Arch I
just,
of Titus.
I just wanted to head off whoever was writing the email to us telling us which part.
Hey, bunch of morons.
It happens all the time. I'm glad you did that. But the cat was, I could not figure out why the cat was there. What was the meaning of the cat?
Aren't cats some kind of symbolic meaning to the Chinese?
Are they?
Every time I go to my Chinese restaurant, they got the cat Buddha waving at me.
Yeah, but that's the Japanese cat Buddha.
What is that?
Shinto lucky cat, isn't it?
So what you're saying is my American Chinese is all mixed up with the Japanese?
That's what we're saying.
So. Oh,
but what? Crap. But he just there watching, and when they were at some point they were doing a quick shot between his close-up face, then the cat's close-up face, and then what's his name's close-up face, and then back to him, and I'm like, the cat's got shit all to do with this movie. Why is he in it?
He is the witness to the greatest battle.
So you're saying we are the cat. It's his perspective.
The cat is representing us.
He is the every cat.
The entire best part of that whole cat business, though, is when the cat is hissing, but it's dubbed in to sound like, yeah.
That one's a pretty good one.
Oh, dude.
Meow.
That one's pretty good.
I wish we could start over, get an original edit of this film, and then commentary sack it. Because I just don't, I have, like, with the subtitles, maybe if they were good.
Yeah,
I think it could be
great. I have this feeling there's all these other stories going on.
Yeah, and I agree. We weren't handed most of them. And anytime some, like, that weird dissonance would happen, you'd go, oh, well, clearly they were talking about something else here, and they needed to match up voice or faces with dialogue length, and they weren't good at it in 72, and this would all improve in years later, and Jackie Chan stuff would be slightly better, but not much.
Like the gag where he's standing outside the car at the beginning and not getting in, and she's like gesturing for him to get in, and he's busy naming other cars. Like, maybe that was a whole other thing. Maybe that was a really interesting bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the
translation we got is just stupid.
Yeah. Some of the trivia, speaking of which, so Bruce Lee dubbed almost all the English in the movie, except for the big boss guy with the burns. The line he said out loud, which was not dubbed, was "take him out, but be careful with the gun in public." There's also trivia saying that the entire thing was shot without any sound and that the actors looped in their lines in post-production. So I don't know which one to believe. Did the guy really say it or not?
They definitely looped in the striking sounds.
Oh, yeah, without a question.
I think everything, when you hear... you know, the Foley work and all that stuff, it is absolutely 100% believable to me that they shot it without sound and then just added everything via Foley and dubbing.
Does that mean they did it? They probably did it twice then, because they probably did.
They would have to do a Chinese version. Yeah,
sure. Right. And that one probably matched up some and made more contextual sense. But
it did. But here's the weird thing is there was a lot of English spoken in the movie. I mean, even by the characters who were foreign, like, the second in command,
the Smithers.
Yeah, the Smithers.
The guy who'd be played by Ken Leong in the remake.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. No. Played by,
by James Hong.
James Hong. Yeah.
Even better.
Hong. Yeah.
At one perfect. Point in time, I thought that might be him. And I thought, no, ages wouldn't match up.
Yeah. For a second, I was going down that path, but
his voice, like you could, you know, you'd see his mouth moving. And it may not match up exactly with the dubbing, but it matched up enough to where you're saying, oh, he's actually speaking English, and they've just redubbed other English on top of it, which I'm guessing is, again, Bruce Lee. I love the fact that Bruce Lee dubbed all, it had to be all the male voices, because I don't think he dubbed any of the female voices.
Yeah, I think so too. And he did, so he's director, writer, and of course stars in it. Here's what I loved about the movie. Okay. First of all, first 30 minutes were weird and there was no fight until like 30 minutes in. Right. That seemed weird to me. That's like holding off your monster in your monster movie. Right.
And there's even the first fight you think you're going to see is a setup where they said, oh, it's time to come in and help customers. Right. And everybody
break it up.
They almost fought and then didn't fight. I was like, what the hell was that?
Right.
So I'm feeling kind of bummed that there's no fighting, but I'm also kind of enjoying the cheese and I'm kind of just going along with the motions here. And then he starts to fight. And then you're reminded that guy was something special when it came to martial arts and film. And this, you know, as much as this movie is a big bag of cheese and it's horribly shot in some ways, and there's like long shots that are blurry that they just didn't reshoot. And
oh, yeah. I guess some of the long shots they did.
Like at the airport, we're just
blurry. They just basically zoomed in. There was no you know, tracking or anything. It was just
it was bad.
Let's get way back here and film it halfway across the airport.
Yeah, and if you see that Bruce Lee movie that was out in like 93 with Jason Scott Lee as Bruce Lee, it was pretty good. I actually really liked it. It gets into a lot of how it was very guerrilla filmmaking, and you know they were just by the seat of their pants and trying to do something cool. But the minute he gets into one of his stances and starts dancing around the way he does, and how fast he moves.
Yes.
Bad Foley work or not on the sound.
I love the Foley work.
Dang it, dude. Yeah. He's just a badass. Like, so freaking cool to watch that guy.
What I can't decide about, I'm sure I liked it when I was little, but I can't decide whether or not I love seeing Bruce Lee's O face all the time while he's fighting.
when you were little, you loved seeing his O face. Is that what you're telling us?
Because he never looks, he doesn't look at his target. He looks like there's a cat on the floor and he's really mad at it and he's trying to intimidate it.
Might have been a cat on the floor.
Fight going on, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't put him past it. There was another cat that shouldn't have been
there.
And
he's constantly working his mouth and his eyes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, That's just, that's either weird or it's badass. I can't decide.
I think it's badass. I think even his, in his weird things he does after connecting with hits and after a, you know, a moment of a flurry of punches and then makes that kind of noise, it's so iconic. His shape even is so iconic. I mean, the way he's built is like nothing. There's nobody else is built like that.
No, his, yeah, I mean, the triangular back that he has, that muscle that is like,
yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah, I mean, the dude is cut.
And it's so intense to watch. And so, and like when they're flexing, as much as, you know, we, I think it was Randy's intro that kind of was poking at that. It's impressive. Now watching Norris do it was kind of gross. Like I'm just watching hair roll around. I didn't like that.
Right.
Just what I needed him to get sweaty even before the fight. I'm like, no, just please.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess all I'm saying is you just, you know, there's a reason. There's a reason he's considered an incredible, huge legend and that everybody looks at him and just goes, yeah, that guy was the master. And he was barely here. He died at 32. And, you know, there's still, wow. I went down a, you would not believe the rabbit hole I went down again. I've done this multiple times with Bruce Lee, but I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. There's a conspiracy about this side of it and this side of it. And maybe the triads killed him or maybe this and that. And, you know, there's like a million stories about why Bruce Lee died too young and that, and most of them are nefarious. What?
Yeah, he grabbed, he was sleeping and he was having a nightmare and he grabbed his own neck and snapped.
Isn't that what happened in that movie, that 93 movie? They really played up the family curse angle in the movie, the I like. But, and that was one of the theories that there's some curse on their family and that's why Brandon got shot by accident in The Crow and all that. But I don't know why, but I love that. I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but I'm fascinated by the theories themselves. So I actually think probably what happened is he died from the brain swelling that the doctor said happened and he died in his sleep like everyone says he did. But the conspiracy is really fun. So
it is a lot of fun.
Go look at
it. Also,
yeah.
I went down another rabbit hole myself. I went down the, would Bruce Lee really kick Chuck Norris's butt in real life?
Yes.
And so I went through all the, does Bruce Lee really know martial arts or was he just an actor? Was he putting on? And
Do you
even lift, bro? Come on, whatever.
Do you even rapid fire punch a guy in the face 50 times, bro?
That is where I end up coming down on the choose Bruce Lee or Jackie Chan argument. It's like choose Star Wars or Star Trek. I go with Jackie Chan because I have a certainty about his abilities that I don't have with Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee might just really be more looks than possibilities.
It could be. It could be more showmanship. That's a very good point. I don't know if it's the problem is the body of work is so small compared to what we got with Jackie Chan. And Jackie Chan's still around to explain what happened and, you know, and all that. Whereas Bruce Lee came like three movies. The fourth thing he's in, he was put out posthumously. He wasn't alive when it happened. So really three movies and that's it. So we don't really know or have any idea except during his competition times when there's all kinds of records about that stuff. And there's, I mean, you could argue, well, you can't just argue this. It's a fact that there is a style of martial arts that unlike the others that are thousands of years old in some cases is as old as the early 70s because he basically invented it and now it's a thing people do for real. So I think he's probably more real than we think, but I agree that it's harder to tell. If you go just by film body, you're just like, well, you know.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It's like if you're asking, would you rather have Eric Clapton or Stevie Ray Vaughan? You don't have enough.
I'd rather have no Clapton.
I don't. You know what I mean? Like Stevie Ray Vaughan is probably a little overemphasized by the people who love him because they have to. They have
such a small body of work to compare.
Yeah, that's true. But then doesn't death? We've talked about this before, but doesn't, like with the Brandon Lee bit, doesn't death seal your legend? Doesn't it make you, if you die young, it just makes it, it seems bigger than maybe it was.
But I realize you have to talk about music if you're going to have this discussion because musicians all died young.
They're right? die. But, I know. It's like, that's like their MO. It's like, we got this.
Yeah.
But seriously, Amy Winehouse was truly amazing. Like best in the world at what she did when she died.
Yeah.
Like, so you
taking drugs?
Yeah, right.
She's really
you
good
could make the argument.
I'm the best.
Unfortunately, the fact that she died, or Jimi Hendrix, or whoever, the fact that they died, you could make the argument that they had nowhere to go but down from there. If they'd lived, they just would have made less great works.
Well, you okay? So I was looking at it this way. So Kurt Cobain, I think, is great for what he was, but would he be the legend he is now if he hadn't died young? And I absolutely say no way he would have. Now, look at somebody like his bandmate, Dave Grohl, who comes out of that and says, well, that was rough. See you later, Kovaskakalik, or whatever your name is. I'm going to go do my own
Kurt
thing.
Novoselic.
Yeah. So he goes off and starts his own band, calls it Foo Fighters, and once again, tops the charts, makes everybody love him. Here's what happens later in life. He's in his 40s, kind of a family man now. He's got kids, still tours, still makes albums. What will probably end up ultimately happening is the Foo Fighters will be fondly remembered, but they'll never take on legendary status because he's a relatively stable guy who's not going to off himself at night or something. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I picked Kurt Cobain as well in my head when I think of that kind of story, because I remember growing up during that time, I thought Nirvana was okay. But they were definitely, to me, not the biggest grunge name in my mind. But when he died, it was like all of a sudden, everybody was a Nirvana fan.
Yeah,
it's like, right. Love Nirvana. Nirvana's the best.
And there are kids that are 14, 15 now that just worship the band.
Right.
They love that. They love Kurt Cobain. They sit around listening to old Nevermind albums. And they're, you know, they weren't even a dirty thought in their dad's heads yet when Kurt Cobain killed himself.
Would Elvis Presley today, if we'd watched him get old and become even more embarrassing, right?
he was starting to
move into some very embarrassing territory.
Sure. Right. I think it could have gotten worse.
Would we have the same appreciation for him?
Well, like, okay, no, I think we wouldn't have. I think that the same thing's true of, like, Sinatra. Like, he got crusty and with the mob and all gray and mad, and then we make fun of him on SNL. And it wasn't because he was this hot, sexy crooner man. But then again, Tony Bennett's kind of a living legend. So there's ways to do it. I think there's ways to do it. It depends on kind of how big of an ass you are at the end. You know, like how much of this has ruined you? How much have you let it ruin you? How much has your less fame made you bitter and angry and fat and slow or whatever? Or you grow old gracefully. I keep going back to Dave Grohl because to me that guy is like it's Phoenix out of the ashes a little bit. And he's such an interesting guy. He has so much to say. He's smart. He has things to say about music today. Mm-hmm. And
he's talented.
Yeah.
He looks like he'd be just a cool guy to hang out with, let alone the music.
And you don't look at him and go, I don't want to hang out with Grandpa over there. He's a real washed up.
His teeth are so huge, Brian.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not smiling.
But bring it back around to Bruce Lee.
All right.
Come back to Bruce Lee for a minute. Do you really think there was something as great or greater for him to do if he had lived?
Yeah.
I don't think that he really had it in him to do something different than this, or in particular greater than, because like Dave Grohl was a great drummer in Nirvana.
Yeah.
But all of his greatness blossomed once he went and did his own thing.
Yeah.
And by the way, Krist Novoselic was asked to play bass in when they first formed Foo Fighters, and he was like, no, I don't want people to think we're just Nirvana 2.0.
yeah, he was, and like, my last name's weird, I'm not doing this.
Boy, that was dumb. Boy,
yeah, he should have done that.
He's 50 years old now.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's got his Nirvana money, he'll be fine. I'm gonna say yes, he could have, because here's what he was faced with. He's in the early 70s, he's doing this by the seat of his pants, he's being an entrepreneur in the Hong Kong film business. That thing didn't really exist then, not like it does today or would become, and he's largely responsible for that kind of energy over there. So give him the time and the passage of time, the acquisition of funding and capital, I think he could have been great. I think he could have done things that would have been amazing in the Hong Kong cinema.
I think he's the Chinese Chuck Norris if he lives. I'm serious.
Well, Chuck Norris was always goofy, though. He was never cool. Was he?
And Chuck Norris could never escape his destiny, Chuck Norris. He was stuck being
Texas Ranger.
Right. And so maybe Bruce Lee ends up with a, you know, legendary television show or something.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, but like Jackie Chan, he has an arc too. And his arc is when he's young, he's just incredibly acrobatic but also kind of enigmatic. He's not super, the personality's not coming out yet. And then some of the mid movies, that definitely comes out. It's all about his personality and the humor. And then his ability kind of kicked in there. And then he started doing all this American stuff where he kind of backed off and quit doing, you know, crazy stunts or as crazy as stunts. And, you know, that happens to everybody as they get older or whatever. But I don't see why I don't see why that pattern wouldn't have been Bruce Lee's pattern. That's mm-hmm. It would have been a very similar pattern. And today, you'd hire him to be a smarter, wiser, slightly older Chinese older. Teacher guy man.
Right. Yes, he'd be the Obi-Wan basically.
Sure.
Right.
Like Jackie Chan was in that new Karate Kid piece of thing.
Speaking of which, speaking of Chuck Norris, how come the only thing we've ever watched on for Film Sack is The Expendables 2 far as Chuck Norris?
Because Delta Force hadn't appeared on Netflix yet, but now it's there. And we have,
is it? Okay.
We owe it to ourselves to get a Delta Force.
I mean, come on. Missing in Action, Lone Wolf McQuade.
Oh my gosh, dude.
The Octagon. The freaking Octagon.
Oh, we tried to do Octagon, remember?
We did.
And it got pulled, we didn't do it.
That's right.
Yeah, so we've made the attempt.
Wait, like, stop. Nope.
Wait. Oh, wait, no, we did the Octagon.
We sacked the Octagon.
We did?
Yes.
We did do the Octagon.
We sacked the Octagon.
Oh, we did. You're right. Yes.
I forgot about that. Okay, I forgot about the Octagon. Aside from
that's
that.
That's right, because I said there was no Octagon in the whole movie. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah. That's right, there's, yes.
So oh, I forgot he had the blonder hair and he was like
that's why we didn't remember the Octagon. We only saw it from the outside, the wood paneling of the Octagon.
Right.
So there's now four more Chuck Norris movies that are streaming. We'll have to put Delta Force on our list. Mm-hmm. And I think A Force of One might be
That'd be all right.
The other one to watch.
But I guess what I'm saying is Chuck Norris was destined for... Okay, so you got Schwarzenegger and you have Van Damme. I think it's Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris in those positions. It's the lesser than, it's the B-level for Norris. And had Lee lived, he would have been A-list and would have dominated scenes and would have been this incredible force to deal with. Mm-hmm. He's very charming. I can't really speak to his acting because... I haven't seen enough lately, and this movie doesn't really express it very well. It's mostly about, toilet jokes and strange grins and smiles and stuff, but he's a real charmer, and that smile, my wife's watching this thing with me, and she's like, he is so handsome.
He's absolutely
a great
really
looking
charming
guy.
And yeah.
Except when he does that O-face thing in the middle of fighting. And it's
says,
like...
Says you, but you're not a lady.
Okay. Touche, my brother.
Touche, and also true. I just want to point out that is absolutely right. True about
got a, got some jive talking in this movie.
Ah,
for no good
reason. How did this piece of offensive non PC piece of crap make it through the Netflix filter?
In 72, this would not have been considered offensive by anyone.
Does it matter? We retro stuff now. It's too offensive.
But I don't think Netflix cares about that. I don't. They are not. I've yet to see an example where Netflix said changed anything about anything that's come before.
I haven't seen Song of the South yet. Netflix.
Well, they haven't aired it at all. But didn't Disney lock that in the vault and say it's
never locked that in the vault?
Exactly.
Suck it away from the back.
They're going to build a ride around it. But boy, you can't see that movie anymore.
No, you can't. So it's almost like when they put we're putting Little Mermaid back in the vault. And Little Mermaid's like, oh shit, I don't want to be sitting next to the Song of the South again.
I'll tell you the rabbit hole I went down was how this film has been edited for various audiences over the years. Yeah. There was a big thing on IMDb comparing the American DVD to the UK VHS version of this film.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. Like in the 80s, making a VHS version of this film for a British audience mm-hmm. was an art form where you had to remove nunchucks because they were offensive.
Really?
Apparently.
Oh, really?
They seemed that they were offensive.
So they took
to...
Chuck Norris out. Oh, you nunchucks!
Oh, nunchucks! Yes. Right, right. Not nunchucks.
Not nunchucks.
When he's flipping those around, by the way, it looked like Bruce Lee's eyes might be allergic to nunchucks because
seriously, I thought the same thing. He was flickering. It's like hit myself in the face. Like he's not.
I would have too, though.
100% comfortable.
I would have too, though. I mean, think about it. But he seemed to deftly handle those. But when he would just punch the air even, and it would come mm-hmm. back so fast. Who else does that? Mm-hmm. Nobody else does that in martial arts movies, including Chuck Norris, by the way.
If we did video clips for this show, I would beg you to include he and Chuck Norris getting ready to fight.
Oh, yeah.
Because Bruce Lee is doing this upkick thing mm-hmm. that is impossible. It is not physically possible for a man to kick his own forehead the way that Bruce Lee does. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful.
It is something else. And Norris is not doing that. He's really just rolling his shoulders and kind of loosening up like a boxer.
Yeah, Chuck Norris is showing flexibility and Bruce Lee is showing speed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both cracking their knuckles. Like they both had 100 knuckles.
Yeah. He's constant knuckle popping. bone popping all, happening all the time. Always touching his face too, Bruce Lee was. Do you notice that? Mm-hmm. Just a lot of nose rubbing and flicking. I know that's part his stereotype of when he's doing the little dance before a fight. But like even just sitting around waiting for a soup. He just kept rubbing his face.
Yeah, rubbing his, like, scratching, yeah, scratching his nose.
His upper lip. Yeah. Touches his upper lip
a lot. What's up with that? Why would you do that?
Did not even think about that. Yeah. I know that everyone said, hey, all the time. Like, hey, 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 hey.
Yes,
hey,
yes,
hey.
Yes.
I got lots of hey's recorded as well. Good Thank deal. Goodness. It's hard not to. They're saying it every 5 seconds.
It's everything, yeah.
It was.
He was supposed to be making the movie with George Lazenby when he died, by the way, which I thought was interesting. The original James Bond, he was going to.
Well, not the original, but.
Well, the second one, right?
Okay, yes. Well. Among the first five James Bonds.
Of, yeah. Right. Among all the James Bonds we have, he was one.
And original James Bond. It's hard not to say that all of them are original James Bonds, right?
But Lazenby, why do I always think Lazenby came before Connery? He didn't, did he?
No. Connery was first. But Lazenby was in the middle of Sean Connery's run. Or not middle, but like basically he did Honor Majesty's Secret Service. And then I want to say Connery came back for one more after that, and then he there did. Was the switch to Roger Moore.
Yeah.
And when we saw that when he came
There's a big debate here, Brian, because I could say that Barry Nelson and David Niven played James Bond before Sean Connery.
Because of, because of Casino Royale, the comedy Casino Royale.
Yes. Yeah. Wait, there was a comedy called Casino Royale? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was a Peter Sellers produced, is that right?
And it was based on the Ian Fleming book?
It was very loosely. It was more based on Peter Sellers' movies.
Right.
But I want to say Peter Sellers was involved in production. I think he appears in the film, but I think he was...
Weird. Like producer or director or something?
Yeah.
No.
I remember watching it and hating it. 1967. Here we go.
Learning something new.
And it was directed by like 10 people.
Right, because, yes.
But the point I wanted to make was, even while you're looking that up, the whole reason I brought it up was because it seemed like right... Before his death, he was literally in the middle of a major shift in his career, like all bunch of new projects coming, lots of crossover with American stuff, the big boost of these kinds of movies starting to come to the States more, like Hollywood being interested in him individually, and some TV projects, like all this stuff starts rolling, gets a really bad headache, has a seizure, goes to the doctor, they say it looks like it's whatever it was, it's gone now, goes back home, week later, is meeting with Lazenby later that day, has this headache, goes, lays down, dies in his sleep. It's like awful, man. And this is like, was there anybody in better shape than him? I don't know. Probably not.
No.
Did he have any fat? I didn't see any fat.
Jeez, not one bit.
No fat. I mean, I've got jugs compared to, and I'm not that fat. You know what I mean?
Hey, was it my imagination or was this whole story very A-team? The whole script seemed like it was the A-team.
Okay, give me, give me a comparison here.
Well, first of all, he comes in to save the poor people who can't save themselves from these thugs and boss guy who's coming in. So, I mean, it's very much that.
That's a Western.
I felt like, da-da-da-da. I kept thinking that the whole time I'm watching.
It's a Western.
Yeah, it's a bit of a Western.
It's a Western?
Sure. Even the final music as he's walking away and the one guy that didn't die and the girl, he goes, he's off to be on his own forever or whatever he said. And then the music was actually lifted from a Leone movie.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the basic plot is lifted from Sergio Leone.
Completely agree. Yeah.
It's Upon a Time in the West kind of thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if you think about it, most movies are this. like the Western really informed most dramas.
Right. So
forward.
You either have a lone wolf who comes in and shapes everything up by kicking its ass, or you put together a team, which is what Brian's talking about. And I'd say that's more like Magnificent Seven kind of stuff.
Sure. Which I guess you can go back to Seven Samurai. So maybe we owe everything to, what's his name?
Kurosawa.
Kurosawa
and Hitchcock basically invented everything.
They invented all film, yeah.
The only thing really that you can, you know, that breaks that comparison to the A-Team is the fact that if Bruce Lee was his Tong, right? His name's Tong.
Yeah.
It's actually Tang Lung.
Tang Lung. Yeah, okay. You don't want Tang. That's all the astronauts came home with Tang Lung.
It's what you get when you're. It's what you get right when you start adding the water to Tang, and it all gets in your face.
Dude, that is the worst. Do not breathe in the Tang spores. Anyway, what Brian you're saying
is that if Tang Lung had not been involved, they may have lost the restaurant, but they all would have been alive.
Yes, but we haven't talked about the really out of left field and completely cheap. uncle suddenly going bad.
Right, yeah, all of a sudden
Uncle Wang ended up being a real dick.
Yeah, so let's say Uncle Wang, let's for a minute accept that he turned tail like that.
Right.
When did he do that? Because there were parts earlier in the movie where there was no benefit to him even to any of this even starting if they'd already cut a deal with him.
Right. Usually it's not a hint, you know, like, oh, he must be involved because he seems to always be gone when the bad stuff really happens, or he's, you know, he's getting some money on the side by doing this.
Mm-hmm. Or you rip his mask off and it was the janitor the whole time or something.
Kids, yeah, right.
But none of this, it was completely, like, I like a good surprise because, you know, Sixth Sense surprise, you know, where it's like, oh, wow, if I think about it, Bruce Willis really did, and you kind of get it, right?
Oh, you never see him actually talking with his wife. Yeah, and
which is a huge payoff.
That door.
Yeah,
the twist doesn't make a difference.
Right.
I mean, it obviously makes a difference for the two guys that get shot at the very end.
Right.
But
stabbed, yeah, but yeah.
Stabbed.
Yeah, they were stabbed, remember?
Well, a couple guys got shot. The Ken Leong, I'm sorry, the James Hong-esque character gets shot.
Yeah, he got shot for sure. But the two guys that the uncle, when he starts his betrayal, he pulls out a knife and stabs them both in the back.
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
Yes.
I was talking about the very end of the film, which is a horrible ending. I will not allow this film to get any credit for the horrible final scene.
Who called the cops? That's what I want to know. Who called the cops?
Yeah. How? Why did the guy who they arrested stop shooting? Yeah. Like, I don't understand any of this.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, we're standing in a graveyard, all the headstones of everybody who died in this movie.
Yeah.
And
all buried together.
Bruce Lee's walking away, and we have nothing good to say.
Great. The girl's still alive. I guess she's going to run that restaurant all by herself, which
they could have said
there's
that.
Only two customers.
Yeah,
they could have said anything other than, well, he's a loner.
Yeah.
He's going to go off.
It's easy.
Himself.
It's like three people come in there a week. It's just her and that other fat guy. Yeah, exactly. It's fine. They got it.
If that guy in Japan can do it, she can too.
Sure, of course.
Well, she probably got some New Year money and she was out.
Oh, yeah. New Year money. New Year money. Having been in China during the New Year celebration, I was there once for that for a company I worked for at the time, and nobody got New Year money. And,
didn't get any of your money?
Didn't call it that. Like, there were people getting bonuses. It's like Christmas for them.
Right.
And they were getting bonuses and things, but nobody said, New Year money.
Ooh, New Year money. Finally!
I think that was a translation thing.
I can buy that cat I wanted.
Yeah, I want that cat that sounds like a screaming man.
Fight!
He was keeping rules. We weren't told Professor McGonagall was there as a cat in cat form.
First, like, you must remove your clothes. Take off your shirt.
Just imagine if Bruce Lee had had the last line and he'd said goodbye, I will see you sometime. I have to go use the bathroom.
Right.
Like, that would have been really funny.
That would have been great.
Have you seen the toilet?
I need to take another soup shit or whatever.
I was a little bit disturbed that first time he went out and he started doing those forehead high kicks right after he came out of the bathroom while she went away. I was a little bit worried. I'm like, I don't know if you should be doing that, dude. If you just took a duke.
Yeah, if you got the squirt,
thinking she was going to walk back in and he was going to kick her in the head, but. Yeah. What we got was apparently much, much better.
A little Campbell's tomato. Also, speaking of which, the movie is rated, hold on a second.
R for really?
No, hold on. Is it R?
Yeah, rated R for really, because I was like, for what? For that one boob?
It's for the boob, yeah.
Bunch of kicks?
Back then, the boobs wouldn't have got you an R rating here in the States. So there must have been the violence, maybe him killing. Spoiler, he kills Chuck Norris's character at the end, Cole.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or Colt, sorry.
He doesn't want to. He's forced to. And you can tell it in his face that, no, why did you make me do this?
Yeah. It was very Superman breaking Zod's neck.
And can we all agree that he didn't kill him decisively in the end? Yeah. It was just sort of a let him lay here sort of death.
I would have said that until he covers his face up with his...
Right, exactly.
No. There's symbology there.
Whatever it is.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It just felt like so many people had died, and this most important death, he could have, if Colt had gotten back up, is what I'm saying. I wouldn't have been completely surprised.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that he's no nurse. All right, so because in movies, you generally lay down some rules, and and there's some rules that come into a movie and you just know it. It's like, okay, it's a martial arts film.
Yeah.
When the death kill is either a punch to the heart or the or the face, and that's it, or you break their neck.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the most common. So when he broke that dude's neck like three different times when he showed up in his apartment and they drug him outside, I'm like, oh, they're just gonna leave that dead body out there. That's not gonna work. You can't just go to bed, can't drag a dead body out to
corpse
the hall.
In a bucket.
Right? Corpse in a bucket.
But no, he ends up being in the next scene and he's got like, you know, he's got some black eyes, he's got a neck brace. Mm-hmm. So then when Chuck Norris got killed with the neck chop, I was like, maybe, maybe not. Maybe he's not dead.
Yeah, there's a bunch of discussion in the IMDb forums about whether that guy you're talking about was killed. And then I'm like, well, no, because they showed him later. And then, yeah, you could have. And according to the trivia, the only death he caused is confirmed to be Colt's, but that maybe there was one other guy who was killed. And I don't know who that would have been. But yeah, this, I think the whole point of that was to say, oh, the sting of death is, you know, I've killed my first man or whatever. I'll just leave it here at this popular tourist destination for the next tour group to come through and find.
Right. Well, I'll cover him up so maybe people don't see him right away.
Right away they won't see him. But then someone will light a match and then we're all going up in flames because his chest hair is going to catch on fire. That was gross. Can we talk about his chest hair for a minute?
We could talk about it for 20 minutes.
His back, his chest, his everywhere but his face.
The cowlick. He's got that crazy cowlick thing in his chest hair, too.
Yeah, it was like, all twisted. And it
like
looked
Which is where Bruce Lee
yanked out a big fistful of it.
Oh, geez.
That was also gross, because when he tried to blow it out of his hands, it wouldn't blow out because it was stuck to his hands.
That was a horrible gag. Why didn't they do that again and get the gag right?
It was gross. Look. Because it's so sweaty and sticky. Oh, my gosh. It's making me want to never
I'm only
food.
Doing this once, guys. Sorry. Yeah. Only once.
This is sick. It's so gross. That whole scene would just gross me out. But here's my point. If you are willing to shave, if you're willing to make a Peter Pan movie and shave Robin Williams as a result, why wouldn't you spend just a little time grooming up freaking Sasquatch there a little bit?
Right.
And you're not wrong. If it was a nice uniform, like Tom Selleck sort of luxurious chest hair kind of problem, fine. But this looked like people are using spirit gum for like a play or whatever, putting fake mustaches all over his body. It was gross.
Well, we need some more fake mustaches over here.
70s were all about that, about chest hair like that. I mean, this was a time when, like, you know, we mentioned Burt Reynolds, but like, you know, all these guys were, it was, you know, it was basically perceived as masculine to have that much chest hair.
Yeah.
Right.
And now this is the day and age of manscaping. So, you know,
were we like having like a blowback from the Charlton Heston years where, you know, you had this shiny, slicky man?
Could be. Think,
right.
Yeah. Shiny, slicky man.
I've never heard Charlton Heston not called masculine though. So, I mean, it would have to be somebody else.
Yeah. Go with
like,
Yul Brynner.
Yeah. Yul Brynner.
There you go. Oh, sure. The bald guy. Great.
So I just put a picture of Bradley Cooper in Skype. That is acceptable.
The appropriate amount of hair.
That's acceptable. That's what you need.
Right.
But that thing that
how did
he
you
had,
come up with that photo so quickly, by the way, Scott?
I searched chest hair in Google Images.
Why would you do that?
And it showed right up. I'm looking for gnarly stuff, like really gross stuff. And man, there is some business.
Oh yeah,
in
probably
here.
A lot of pictures of people with the last name Baldwin.
Yeah. It's not good. Ooh, gosh. Okay. One of these just about killed me. I don't want to look at this anymore. Okay, I'm done with this page. Goodbye. But anyway, it was hard for me to take him seriously as a villain or a bad guy. And do you have to take your shirt off? Can't you just fight around your gi top thing? What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of knew it was going to be a karate fight whenever Bruce Lee showed up out of the
come on, we'll go to Rome, have a few laughs.
Right? When Bruce Lee showed up at the quarry and the two guys come out in the official karate jerseys, mm-hmm. I knew there was going to be a karate fight.
Yeah.
Came out in their little whites.
Yeah, it had to be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how you know when a guy wants to fight, is they've got his whites on.
When they show up in their practice karate uniforms, mm-hmm. you know it's time to do some karate.
Yeah.
Yeah, they yell at you from across the Roman Colosseum.
Right.
Yeah, that was all pretty dumb.
The movie tries to establish Chuck Norris's badassery via a trope.
Mm. Oh, hey.
Please tell me it's the crutch hits the camera trope.
No.
What do you got?
No, he only has one short line in the entire film. Otherwise, he is completely silent.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think he even had one line. What did he say?
It was early on when he was in the office
He's introduced and he confirms that
I am Peter.
Yeah, that other guy who's introducing him as his student.
It's definitely not his voice, by the way. It's somebody else. But
yeah.
I was looking for him to say a line. I guess I completely missed that one.
I don't think I recorded it. But
So that's an interesting trope. I'm really fascinated by that, where a filmmaker decides, I'm going to take this character, and we try to build them up by not having them say anything.
Yeah. You know, the movie that had two of them was The Replacement Killers, Danny Trejo, and then the German. The actual replacement killers named in the movie, they are mute the entire time. And even when they're getting hurt and shot and murdered and things, they don't say anything. I think maybe Trejo says something with his dying breath, but like, oh yeah, because he snuck up on him and he goes, clever girl or something. I don't know what it was.
But we've seen this a few times. You might remember the doctor from Event Horizon had very little to say, and that was supposed to make him really creepy.
I think that's a fun trope because I like watching that unravel, maybe. But you're right, it's in everything. Think about it. Every, like, Alien had. What did Alien have? Somebody was real quiet on Alien.
Alien never said a word.
No, the alien never spoke. Yeah,
the xenomorph never said a word.
The guy that Indiana Jones fights in Raiders of the Lost Ark that gets cut up by the propeller.
Oh, the big German fighter.
The big German guy never has any lines.
That's right. Yeah, like a big brute, like voiceless brute. It's very like rooted in like even old storytelling.
Jaws from James Bond didn't for a while until the end of Moonraker.
It makes sense because you're going along and you're like, yeah, this guy is intimidating. Look at him. And then a Mike Tyson voice comes out and you're like, okay, you've ruined it.
It's a version of like in a video game going, oh, I need to enter the tomb of the unforgotten cheese or whatever. And outside is a giant life-given golem who you have to fight to beat to get past it. It's the same idea.
Right. And the example that came to mind for me was Mickey Rourke's character in Iron Man 2.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. He only actually says one line in the whole film.
Yeah, or freaking, what's his name with I Must Break You and Rocky? Same thing.
Another perfect example. Yeah.
In fact, maybe the most iconic of modern examples is that.
Apparently, when you suffer this trope, you then have to go be in The Expendables.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's true. Everybody, we think here.
We're naming a bunch of people.
And Arnold's character in The Terminator, especially the first one, very much that.
Do you remember in Predator, there was a Native American guy named Billy?
Hardly said anything, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember Ali Sheedy in Breakfast Club?
I was scared.
She never said anything. She just ate her own dandruff.
She just applied lipstick with her boobs.
Yeah. Boob lipstick and dandruff eating. Mm-mm. She knew
how to live. Oh, that's right. That was Ali Sheedy.
Oh, Ali Sheedy did the boobs. Right.
No, Molly Ringwald did the boobs. Ali Sheedy did
the other way. Right. Pumbaa, Simba, and it's an inside joke for TMS listeners. All right. Moving on. What else? Is that it? Oh, chest hair. The fight. The final fight. I wanted to just say that for a movie that seemed pretty light most of it, the middle act was a little darker, but for the most part, it was still kind of goofy. That final fight got kind of dark, man. Like, there were moments of weird pause and him shaking on the ground and still getting up. And, like, that was, I don't know. I came away from that thinking, well, there's your R rating. There's some emotional damage happening. And, I got to give Norris some credit, maybe. Like, he actually really pulled off the I'm losing stoically thing.
But it still suffered from a trope that I hate so much.
Well, let me play this if you're going to do one.
The fight like gentleman trope, where every time somebody knocks someone else down, he stands back and waits for the other guy to get up.
It's very Klingon, isn't it?
Like, maybe this made sense a long time ago, and I just can't understand it anymore, but it's ridiculous. It's like, when you watch this, like, finish him. You
like
continue.
It.
See, I don't.
I think it's the respect of a warrior. I mean,
I think it's bullcrap. I'm with Randy on this. What's this? Deluxe Jensen. We don't ever agree, so I don't know what this is.
It doesn't even feel right, does it?
It doesn't feel right. But no, I totally agree. Like, if they're... I know it's a thing, you see it a lot, it happens in a lot of movies, but when does it really ever actually happen? Like, was there ever a moment in World War II where an Allied soldier stood by an Axis soldier and they're in the room, they're both bleeding to death, and they just look at each other and go, the way of the warrior is that we must finish. I don't think anyone does that.
No, and I think if Chuck Norris wouldn't have gotten up for that last attack, I don't think it would have been Bruce Lee's character to finish him off, to break his neck.
Right.
Which puts a spin on the trope, right? Where you're saying that this is a character thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tactically horrible.
Oh, like, yeah, no like doubt.
You are not
in a real fight. No, you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, yeah. But in movies, you do.
But you know, it's like, yeah. I love how in Serenity, the Firefly movie, this trope gets reversed, and Mal is like shooting the operative before he even finishes his sentence.
Oh, you know? I freaking love that. He does it a couple times in the series too, and it's my favorite Mal moments because the rest of the time you see where he has heart and he has soul and he has forgiveness and change and all these things from, you know, being this rough brown coat who was so mistreated by the Empire or whatever. And then there are these times where it's just like, no, the math is simple. That thing, that dude there needs to die and be thrown into the engine because I'm going to kick him in there. And he was great at like springing that audience in that show and in that movie. Oh my gosh, Serenity, dude. I want to watch that movie right now for the 20th time.
Just turn all on, right. There's some cable network that is always running Serenity and Firefly.
Oh, it's so
is
good.
It FX every
it's
weekend?
Gotta be FX.
Is it FX? They do it a lot.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie. It will be my 20th time next time I watch it. I love that movie so much. It's funny because whenever really, someone tells me to say, oh, what's your top five of all time? I always forget to put it in there, but it's probably in there.
2x2.
Firefly, the complete series of Firefly is still streaming on Netflix. I do not understand why the movie isn't. That's weird to me.
I thought that was up there. Is it not up there? I guess it's not. I have it on Blu-ray, so that's where I get my fix. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that should be streaming. That movie's so good. Oh my gosh.
So it's like you watch the full series of Firefly and then you're like, what do I do now? Yeah. I don't know. Farscape. I don't know.
Right. Farscape.
In this world, in this day and age of, you know, mass consumption of a series, it's very disappointing. It's like, that's it?
Yeah.
That's all there was to it.
Yeah, that's, listen, I wish that Fox would have been dicks later, like, or the show would have started up in the late aughts or something. Because then you could very much see that series being one of these things. Like, if Netflix is going to swoop in and save Longmire, which I really like, by the way, but if it's going to swoop in and save Longmire, a show that was on A&E,
right,
and it has a rabid fan base, and make a whole new season, they would have easily done that for Firefly.
Is that show the Kurt Cobain of TV shows?
No, it's.
Is it better that it died in the first season?
No. It needed more. Don't you guys agree? They could have gone so much further.
I can see where you're going. I mean, I totally can see what you're saying, Brian, because let's say Heroes stopped after the first season.
Oh,
would we have that same love for Heroes and say, oh, Heroes is such a great show and it ended too soon?
Yeah.
But the fact that we got the second season of Heroes.
Right. And people love to blame the writer's strike, but no. The people who made Heroes screwed it up.
They did. I mean, there's always examples where you could have said, I mean, you could say this, like, they should have stopped at Star Wars Episode 4. Well, I'm sure glad they didn't because 5 is amazing. You know, Empire Strikes Back wouldn't have had that. But then you could say The Matrix should have stopped at 1. Well, it's only because they made shit the next time. It's not. Right. It's all about who's good at doing things or not.
Animatrix was good. They should have stopped.
Animatrix was amazing. That was really good. But here's what they should have done. It should have been now. Netflix would have swooped in and saved it. We got another season. It still would have had Joss Whedon at the helm. Like, all the right people involved. It just would have continued on because Fox canceled it too early. I don't know. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. But just to say that we couldn't have benefited from more Firefly, I don't think it's the same.
But then would we ever gotten Hammer in that little thing? That series that they did?
Maybe. I don't know. But I'll trade that for more Firefly. If you're telling me, then we would have never had Dr. Horrible. Well, who gives a shit? I want more Firefly.
Give me more Firefly. Hey, Dr. Horrible's great, but I'll take more Firefly. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's like, fine if you have to, but it's not the same.
Right.
It's like, I don't know. What's that? I don't know what that's like. I guess it's not like anything, but whatever. It's always like, you know, the Dukes of Hazzard. Lots of fun. Good job. Enos, that's a piece of shit. Well, the
which
bad
you
idea.
Can't watch either now, so it doesn't matter.
But Cheers. Hey. Cheers is fun. Ooh, Frasier's better. Like, sometimes they get it right.
Yeah.
Right. Did you guys see any unicorns in this movie?
What?
His buddy was unicorn.
I kept watching.
Or unicorn, as the ending credits called it.
Yeah. I kept looking for little unicorns, and I didn't see a single unicorn.
Wait a minute. What are you referring to?
There was a person in the movie named Unicorn.
Oh,
unicorn little unicorn.
Oh, yes. Here it is. I see it.
It was actually Bruce, his best friend from childhood.
That's right. Yes.
So why was he called Unicorn? Just because?
That was his name. Literally translated of his Chinese stage name, Kulun, which means unicorn.
Little unicorn.
Oh, really? Wow.
So his real name is Little Unicorn if you translate it. That's crazy.
I'm just telling you what the IMDb says.
Oh, he died in 87.
Yeah.
He didn't live very long
and
either.
And oddly enough, they don't have his birth year. It's just like something through 1987.
According to Wikipedia, it's 1946.
Mm.
Oh, his birthday?
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, he's a little older then. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was he the fat guy? Which guy was he?
He was Jimmy.
Who was Jimmy?
You know who Jimmy is. Jimmy's got to tell you who he is. Come on.
Oh my gosh. If you search for Little Unicorn, all I get is My Little Pony bullshit.
I thought you were going to say that is awesome.
I know. I was thinking porn also. That's what I was waiting for.
No, I didn't get. There's no porn yet. Although, hey, look, if My Little Pony stuff comes up, porn is surely to follow.
Right.
We're heading toward the end of our sixth year of FilmSack.
Oh my gosh. And think of that.
Something that's really changed since we started FilmSack is
Google doesn't look like a vagina. Oh, what?
Google doesn't surprise porn on your searches like it used to. Like, I remember when we started FilmSack, we'd be Googling things while we were talking, and you could have horrible search results.
Yeah, you couldn't do any. You're absolutely right. You couldn't even search like, Jennifer Aniston, and then you just get somebody's fake Photoshop porn images, and you don't really get that anymore.
You really couldn't do chest hair. That was
no, that would have been trouble. There's a picture, by the way, on the chest hair search. There's a dude who shaved he was real hairy. That's a before and after, and he shaved everything except for his mustache, which starts on the left. It curves all the way under his nose, but then keeps going all the way down his face, down his neck, and then down where his chest starts. It becomes a cat's tail, and the rest of the cat is all hair now. So he has a cat shape on his chest from all the chest hair where the little eyeball cut out, but the tail reaches up and wraps around his mustache.
And now I have something to do for the rest of the week.
That's right. Get on that.
Quick, before Dragon Con.
Okay, here, Brian just put it in.
No. I put in, there's a picture of Bruce Lee. Oh,
Jimmy.
Yeah, no, I don't mean the mustache guy. I meant the Jimmy guy. Yeah, okay.
That was the one that was talking smack about Bruce Lee's...
his fighting
Chinese
style.
Yeah,
Chinese boxing.
And these guys were best friends. Is that the deal?
Yeah,
best friends since childhood.
Well, you know, they say that, but I noticed that Little Unicorn has his hand around Bruce Lee, but Bruce Lee, not so much touching.
Right. Almost doing the hover hands, right?
Bruce Lee's hand is down in his back of his pants. Come on now, get it straight over there. Man, just look at Bruce Lee. He's just a badass.
Yeah.
He's so cool. Anyway, I don't know. I was a little sad at the end of this that we didn't get more of him, but
yeah,
you do what you do.
You do what you do.
I have clips. You guys want clips?
I want clips.
Let's start with, I already played this. I'm going to play it again for no reason.
That's when he was in the bathroom, right?
Yeah. Here's when he opened the menu. Want to hear that? Here you go.
Yeah.
This is early on.
Wow. I forgot about that. What kind of horn is that called? Where they got a little plate in front of him. It goes.
Muted trumpet.
Yeah.
That's it.
So stupid. Mm-hmm. All right. They really tried to be slapsticky in that first thing. But here's him ordering eggs.
Eggs?
Ah? What the crap?
You've got an American menu. Yeah. You've got English in the menu. You don't understand the word eggs?
Eggs?
Ah?
All right. Here's how hungry he is.
We were early. I was starving hungry, so I ate a little.
All right. Great.
I was starving hungry. That's my new thing I'm going to start saying.
I'm starving hungry. Yeah, that's
starving
a good idea. All right, I don't know what this is. Something about formality. Here you go.
Hey, don't be so formal. Don't worry. I know that I can help you.
Wow. Wow, dude. That's pretty good. It's real bad. Isn't good. Where's the toilet?
Hey.
Oh, no, sorry. That's just hey. Here's the toilet scene.
Please tell me where the toilet is.
Please. I'm getting a shit in my pants.
Could not be a more white man they picked for the voice by that. Oh,
an older man too,
right?
Because he's like 28 or 7 here or something.
Mm-hmm. And, 32.
Well, that was Bruce Lee dubbing, right?
I don't know.
That's what the trivia says. I'm not convinced it is.
I'm not sure it is either. Let me hear it again.
Hey.
Maybe.
I think it is. Please tell me
where the toilet is.
No.
I think it is.
Remember, he grew up in the States, so he has. Or a huge chunk of his childhood anyway. So he sounded like me and you, right?
I think that's him dubbing. Here we go. So I think it's even him like dubbing the African American guy talking jive in the restaurant. I think it's
really
yes. I think because if you believe the trivia on IMDb,
yeah.
He did almost all of the dubbing of the male characters.
Well, and so in that old biopic, he spends a ton of time in the editing bay with his friend, this other friend guy, mm-hmm. Jimmy, little unicorn there,
right?
And they depicted in the film them just spending, you know, like 48 hours straight in the editing room recording audio. So maybe that was to portray that.
I think
that.
So, because there's a scene where a couple of guys walk into the restaurant and they both start talking one right after the other. And you can tell it's the same voice, but just like, hey, you come back over here. Yeah, yeah, we're going to fight you now. Like it's.
Yeah, it is.
So he did the jive talker. Right. That's amazing if he did.
I think so. I would be willing to bet that he's doing the whole thing.
That's really great.
It's the Bruce Lee show.
All right, here's another one.
Police? Huh.
Yeah, she was good. Police. another toilet reference.
Can I use your toilet?
Over there.
Oh, I'm
so glad you got a little snippet of the music. Every time he'd go to the bathroom, really anytime he's walking through the airport too, it's that same da-na-na-na-na.
Yep.
Da-na-na-na-na.
They forgot it about halfway through and then never played it.
They really did, yeah.
Really weird. So here's a bigger taste of that. So, hold on. What's this? Oh.
I practice martial arts. You see?
That's good. No, this is the one I meant. This is the music. It's like they took the Pink Panther theme and mixed right. it with, like, I don't know, many other 70s
sitcom.
Something
from Herbie Lovebug.
Yeah, totally, dude. Oh, my gosh. That's very good. How about this one? Oh, yeah, I like this. This is giving some smack to the money.
I don't trust this weird foreign money at all.
I don't trust this weird foreign money.
It folds itself into weird shapes in my wallet.
Weird. I don't trust it. All right, here's some amazing intros for all of his friends, or all the guys that would be his friends. These are the people at the restaurant.
I'm Tony.
Jimmy.
Thomas.
Robert. I have no English name. Just call me Archie.
Hello there.
Wow. Hello there. Shut up.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm going to cut you off right there.
Yeah.
I'm not remembering any of your names, so don't bother.
Tommy. Franklin. It's just
Tony.
Great. Tony.
Gino. Yeah.
All right, here's the Chinese laugh I really enjoyed. There you go. I just like that one. I'm going to keep that one handy. Someone yelling at somebody.
Get the hell out of here. Now.
There you go.
Now.
Try to make his lips match what you say.
Totally Bruce Lee.
Where's the man?
Where's the man from Hong Kong named Tang?
I think that's him too, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just doing a crazy stupid voice.
I love that voice. That's one of my favorites. Listen to that.
Where's the man from Hong Kong named Tang?
Wow. Have you seen him, Mr. Bigglesworth?
That was very Mr. Dr. Evil or whatever.
It was, yeah.
Nice job. All right, here's another one.
Better cool it, baby.
I think that's him too. Brian's right.
Too,
I think Brian's right. Now that I'm not watching it and hearing
it. Totally hear it, yeah.
It's like us doing this. This is ridiculously bad. All right.
It's going to save us a lot of money. I'm doing all the voices.
Here's some bad translation. All right, so here you go.
Let him know. If I see him here again, he won't leave alive. Tell him!
He told us not to come and cause any more trouble.
But you were right there!
Right?
You tell him that!
You let him know.
Yeah, I see him. You tell him!
Yeah, I love that, because it's like Degrassi Junior High in there or something.
Like I said, I'm sure that was lost in translation.
Yes, yeah.
Here's something about how you feel.
I know how you feel.
Oh, that's all it was. He knows how you feel. Ooh, I got a clip. Guys, archival clip of Brian Ibbett talking to his prom date about signing his hairy chest in high school.
I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really important moment, and we have it on tape, so here you go.
Come on now, why don't you just sign it? And you'll make everyone happy.
I won't sign, and that's final.
Oh, well, you're a very foolish girl.
There you go. Right from...
Wow.
Right from the 80s. Yeah. Ryan, you had such a different cadence to your voice.
Heady days, the 80s, yeah.
Different sound to you then.
Yes. I was actually in the 80s when I was dubbed by Bruce Lee.
Oh, good. All right. What's this? Oh, I love that punch sound. Isn't that great? Oh, it's so good. Where's the man? Did I play this?
Where's the man from Hong Kong named Tang?
Sorry. I think you were tricking us.
I wasn't trying. I really didn't think I had. All right, here's what it sounds like when you call America. Here you go.
Operator, I'd like to call America. Yes, America.
America. Oh my.
Give me America on the phone.
Give me America.
My big giant boss phone.
Hello? America?
Give me a whole country on the phone.
And a million voices rang out. Hello?
Here's another. I don't know what this is.
Yes.
Oh, just that guy.
Now you're just baiting us. Quit it.
Yes.
All right.
America.
Oh, I broke them all out. Sorry. I'm saving these for future use. Fantastic. Let's see. Good. New Year's. Oh, here's some New Year money.
Well, I didn't expect New Year money here.
Yeah. New Year money. Let's see. Is your name Tar Long?
Is your name Tar Long? Oh.
That guy's got the best voice.
Is your name Tar Long?
And the birds chirp.
Why is there a bird in the studio?
Yeah, that was weird. Here's something else.
I have to do it.
Oh, yeah. Why did he become maniacal and all echoey? Like, I know that the he decided to turn coat Uncle Leo or whatever his name was. Mm-hmm. Uncle Leo.
Uncle Leo.
Hello, Jerry.
I thought I paid for it. But I don't understand why he went all Darth Vader at the end. What was that about? Why wouldn't you just say, I had to do it or else I'd lose the restaurant?
Because it was a surprise to most of us. I had no clue. Yeah, I was shocked.
But why would you laugh
like that? A
surprise
to even them.
All right. Well, did he have to laugh like that, though?
Yes.
Ha ha, my giant laser will destroy you, Superman. Like, I don't get it. Anyway.
I expect you to die.
Here's a cat, and it does not sound like a cat. So here you go. All right. That was it. You think he did that?
Without a doubt.
We're going with everything that we can't identify as someone else. Must be Bruce Lee.
Right. That's amazing. All right, final clip. This is just something that I wrote down as Hazut Punch. Hazut Punch. Okay, here you go. Oh, Hazut. There you go. Wow. I just like how it sounds.
That's the last thing you hear before you get punched in the face.
Any ideas, Randy, on the Foley work, like what they're using to make that sound?
So I was hearing a lot of just smacking pillows.
Mm. Yeah.
Like where you just put a pillow down and you hit it with the palm, the flat of your hand.
Oh, that seems
like
right.
What it was to me.
Yeah. Oh, I can totally hear that, yeah.
And like, you get a nice bass drum sound out of it if you have the mic good and close to
totally.
It.
Totally. How about, what was that one earlier? He was doing, let's see, martial arts. No, wherever it went. Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Did you hear an actual drum in there?
Yes, there was.
At the beginning of that sound, it sounds like there's almost somebody kind of touching a timpani.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Bizarre.
How's that? Oh, I love the way that sounds. Love the way it sounds.
Scott's going to beat you up with his karate sounds.
I heard a lot of percussion instruments being used, you know, like for punches and stuff, like snare punches.
Which I liked it. I thought
it's hard to
cool.
not notice that.
It's also hard not to like just the meaty sound of it. Even though I know it's fake and totally repeated, the guns were all wrong. They sounded like sticks smacking together. Like when he tried to make gun sounds, they were real bad. But the punching, I can live with it. But can I live with this checklist? It's the Film Sack Checklist. Awesome, terrible dubbing. Check. Hairiest chest and martial arts film award. Check. Not enough fighting. Check. That's the only complaint I really have. More fighting, please. Mm-hmm. Less goofing around. Less toilet, whatever. Just
right.
Fight.
Less preening and stretching and oiling up.
Yeah. Star Trek, the only connection is that it's also shot on some sort of film. That's it.
Yeah.
There's nobody in there. Nobody's got any connection to this. This is straight up Bruce Lee and his friends. And what looked like henchmen from... the extras casting list from like Convoy or something. I don't know where all those white guys are coming from.
Right. Yeah. It looked like the guy from the guy who was Candace Bergen's housemate and handyman was like one of the thugs.
Totally.
Wolfman Jack.
Yeah. That guy. Yeah. Somebody on Twitter
Italian,
said
though.
That was someone on Twitter thought that guy looked like Randy. I don't see it. I don't see it.
That's funny. He had a full beard. I don't see it either.
He had a full beard. That's
just
all you
like
need.
Every bald guy anybody sees has to look like me.
The soundtrack grade, I'd give it an MRO for mostly ripped off. They stole a lot of, if you look at the trivia, stole snippets of music from other movies and use them here, which some kind of the Flow spinoff used to be that theme or something. All right, that means this and only this, that we are now ready for the Twitter post. That's where you guys sum it up at 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
The Way of Dragon, scribed and directed by Bruce Lee. This movie is like the stranger who helped you with your belt when it was hanging funny. You didn't think you were going to like it at first, but...
Yeah, that was awkward. I didn't understand. I
forgot about that.
That was weird, that bit. He didn't seem to be squirming much about it. I would have been. Next up, Brian Dunaway.
Way of the Dragon. Like New Year money, I'm sure it makes sense somewhere in the world, but not here in the good old back hair of America.
Speaking mostly of South Carolina, mind you.
Back hair.
Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Return to the Way of the Dragon. I saw this in 1972 with a topless Italian lady, and she talked the whole time. So I excused myself to go to the bathroom. Dragon whips his tail, if you know what I mean.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Toilet.
When she, I don't know if someone's phone's
on. That was perfect timing.
Wow. Yeah, right? Fries are done.
You in.
Yeah, fries are done. I noticed when, I thought that was just odd that he would be seduced enough to go all the way up to the strange woman's room, but then completely freaked out about what her intentions were.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right, yes.
I think I'd have known. I think I'd have kind of had it figured out by then.
Well, yeah, you know, he was sold by his roommate who kept telling him, oh, it's okay.
Yeah, she was never really a love interest, was she?
No.
I don't understand that either. That was a strange choice to not make her the love interest. Anyway, check this out. I have alternate titles just handed to me. Whoops, just handed to me. There they are. It's a tiny business card. It's all I had to wrinkle. Speaking of bad Foley work, here we go. Alternate title number one, quote, I have to use your toilet or this restaurant sucks. Those are your two options. We got an email. Actually, we got a phone call this week. We're going to play a phone call from a listener. He's come to us via this number, 801-471-0462. Leave us a voicemail, play it on the show. This is all about Fargo Dude. All right, so here you go.
Hello, sacular humorists. This is your loyal listener, Sweet Gildas from Fargo. That's my friend back in a chipper. Anyway, I have a suggestion for you. I can't find it on streaming, but Beastmaster. Beastmaster is the greatest thing ever. Also, Midnight Meat Train, and I'll give you your Trek connection. My brother was actually in that film, and he worked with Shatner on another film, and when Shatner was getting out of a hot tub, his balls fell out of his shorts. His balls fell out of his shorts. I doubt Daryl could find that one, but anyway, love the show. And side note, a couple of years ago, I was going through the hardest time of my life, worst time ever, and you guys helped me through it. If it wasn't for you guys, who knows where I'd be right now. Everything you do is great. It's gold. Okay, bye.
That's awesome. I loved. Oh, I always like those nice compliments. Stories. Yeah, the stories are great, but also the Shatner testicles are really. That was great.
Right. Amazing.
That was wonderful.
And Beastmaster would be great. Yeah, Mark Singer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'd watch. That's always on our mind, but it's never streaming. So maybe that one will show up sometime. We just found out about something that was streaming recently. Everybody freaked out to tell us. What the heck was it? Oh, crap. Oh, I did get an email this morning saying we should do that new Turtles movie that just hit Netflix.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
The Megan Fox one? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That was quick to Netflix.
It seems quick, doesn't it, to me?
Yeah.
A little bit. And then there was somebody, but there was one other one that was like a long, venerable, been on our minds forever. Oh, I know. Wing Commander.
Wing Commander.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Wing Commander with Mark Hamill and... No, wait. No, he was in the game. This is Freddie Prinze Jr.'s in it, right?
Yeah,
right.
And the blonde guy from something else. Anyway, that
movie. And the Wing Commander game is Star Wars, isn't it? Or am I confusing two completely different things?
You're thinking of TIE Fighter or...
TIE Fighter is what I'm thinking of, yes. One of those. That's exactly right.
So anyway, yes, we will consider all these suggestions, including the ones we got from you. Beastmaster is always parentally on there. We just never seem to be able to find it. And that's one I just feel like everybody possible should be able to see it, because Beastmaster is a classic.
Yes. It's a beast.
And also one of the replacement angels from Charlie's Angels is in it, and she's naked in it.
Mm.
That's my memory.
Oh, Tanya Roberts.
There you go.
Beastmaster.
There's the...
More like Beefmaster.
I think that's it. Awesome. What else? Is that it? That's it. Send us your emails, filmsack@gmail.com. Oh, a bit of news. Next week, there is no film, but because we have some travelers once again, two of us are going to DragonCon. Because of that, we won't be here to record. So instead, you will be getting one of our live sacks. Most of you love those. A couple of you have been vocal on the boards about not liking them. But
people?
I know. I don't know what's wrong with them. We will be doing an episode of MacGyver. I believe it is season 4, episode 3. It's where he gets sidetracked in his busy life with a Amish family. And while he's recouping there, he saves some kid. So that's right. MacGyver. Live sack of a MacGyver episode. Season 4, episode 3, called The Outsiders. So we promise more of those. And I think these are great filler for when we're traveling or whatever. So we'll make sure to have that ready and queued up so that you can watch it or just listen to us goof off. However you get it, it's fine with us. We don't care.
It is kind of fun to take those and just listen to them while you're watching something else.
I completely agree. I listen to those every time we do them. They're some of the funniest stuff we've done, and I don't have to see the thing. I guess I saw it when I saw it, but I don't have to have it synced there. And for those wondering, if it's something you just skip altogether because you're thinking, oh, I've seen this before because, you know, this is just Mystery Science Theater, it's nothing like that. Yeah. Like, they have these, like, big gaps of space and predetermined jokes, and it's great for what it is, but this was never that. This is more like...
We sometimes talk about other things completely while we're doing one of these.
Imagine annoying three or four very annoying... I guess it's before of us. Four very annoying friends on your couch talking during...
I liked it when you said three because I was thinking, oh, I'm the non-annoying one in Scott's calculus here.
I was hoping everybody would think they were the non-annoying one. Right. But really, I just mean me. But anyway, just imagine
us
on your couch annoying the hell out of you and your family while you try to watch something in peace. That's what this is. I think that's going to do it. Don't forget filmsack.com is the place to go. Participate in the blog there. We love all the comments. You guys are always great. Voicemail us, 801-471-0462. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're @filmsack. We are now back on Reddit with a subreddit. You can go check it out at frogpants.reddit.com. Lots of filmsack discussion happening there as well. Leave us a review on iTunes if you'd also like to, or wherever podcasts are distributed. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Okay, I'm putting my clothes back on and go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Can I use your bathroom? Can I use your toilet?
Soup poop.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. Oh, shit, I don't want to be sitting next to the Song of the South again.